Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. Okay, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Prayer of Deliverance.
And then number five. This is a real key on the six steps on the path to escape. I turn my attention elsewhere. I change the direction of my thoughts. I refocus on something else. I shift my attention. If you're watching something on TV you don't like, you don't sit there and go, I am not going to listen. No, you just flip the channel. That's all you need to do. Temptation. Here's the little secret to temptation. Don't fight it. Just refocus. Don't write this down. Don't resist, refocus. Whatever you have in your life that you resist, you're just nailing it harder into your life. Whatever you resist persists. I'm not going to have another cigarette. I'm not going to take another drink. Whatever you resist, persist. The key is not, did you know that in the Bible not once are you told to resist temptation? We are told to resist the devil, and that's a whole different issue. That's another sermon. But in temptation, the key to overcoming temptation is not push back. The temptation is just change my focus, and all of a sudden I'm not interested in that anymore. When I get a new focus, when I refocus, all of a sudden, that which had my attention, I forget about. It's not that I'm resisting it, I just forget about it. And that principle works in every single area of life. Whatever gets your attention gets you. The battle for sin always starts in the mind. That's why the Bible says this up here on the screen. Thinking about your commands will keep me from doing some foolish thing. Why? Because if I'm thinking about your commands, I'm thinking about the truth, I'm not thinking about the dumb stuff I could be doing. You ever looked over a cliff, been up real high and looked over a cliff and felt like you were being drawn to jump off? Kind of like you were being pulled off, not like a temptation, but just like felt like there was this force that was pulling you? It's because whatever you focus on pulls you. It's true in every single area of life, good or bad. You focus on good things in life, godly things in life, true things in life, it's going to pull you that direction. You focus on the stuff that's at the movies and the stuff that's in the magazine and the stuff that's in all the Harlequin romance novels, that's going to pull you that direction. Whatever you focus on gets your attention. And whatever gets your attention is going to get you. I don't know if you realize this, but the more you think about something, the more it upsets you. And it gets worse and worse and worse, and it gets a stronger hold, and you repeat it and repeat it and reinforce it and reinforce it. And, you know, the first time you think about it, that really upset me. And the more you think, man, that really did upset me. Because the more you think about it, man, I am ticked off. And then, you know, and then you're ready to drop an atomic bomb on that person. By the time you've thought it over and over, you know what? It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So whatever is tempting you, whether it's sex or food or anything else, whatever you focus on is going to pull you that direction. And so the key is to just change your mind. You see, temptation always follows a predictable pattern. Attention, arousal, action. Attention, arousal, action. Action. That's the way every single temptation works. Attention. What was that? Tall and lean and long and lanky. Your mind gets hooked. Arousal. Your mind kicks in. Emotions. Action. You act on it. That's what the book of James says, chapter 1. So you don't fight a temptation. You just churn your mind to something else. Look at this verse. We capture every thought and make it obey Christ. We capture every thought. Now, friends, what that verse says to do, that's the secret to temptation. You're not good at that. You're not very good at that, capturing every thought and turning it to Christ, because that takes practice. That takes practice. You can't always control your circumstances. And by the way, you can't always control the way you feel. But you can control what you think about. That's always your choice. You can't always control the way you feel, but you can control what you think. And if you change the way you think, it changes the way you feel, and that will change the way you act. When Jesus was resisting temptation in the Bible, and Satan said, "Turn these stones to bread," he didn't say, "Oh, no, I'm not hungry." No, he was hungry. He'd fasted for 40 days. He just turned his mind to something else, quoted the Bible. Would you write this down? The more I fight it, the more it controls me. The more I fight it, the more it controls me. So the answer is not, I'm not telling you to go out of here and fight temptation. You can't fight a feeling. But let me tell you how you ignore a very powerful feeling. I just told it to you. You ignore it. That's it. You don't fight a feeling. Can't fight this feeling anymore. What you got to do is you just ignore it. You refocus on something else, and the feeling loses its attraction because of your attraction and attention on something else. Look at the next verse, Romans 12, 21. Don't let evil conquer you, but overcome or conquer evil with good. Now, what is this? Right underneath that, the principle of replacement. That's what this is. It's the principle of replacement. Fill your mind with truth, good thoughts, good things, and it pushes out all the junk in your mind. Now, learning this kind of stuff that I'm talking to you about is this pattern of thinking is not easy, but it is possible. And you can learn how to do it. So, here are the steps. First five, identify what makes me vulnerable. I know why I get tempted. Then I plan to avoid those places. Just stay away from those things. Don't watch that channel. Have somebody put a block on your computer, your wife, or on your television or whatever. Guard your heart. Know when you're emotionally low. Pray for God's help. Ask God to give you deliverance. Pray the prayer of deliverance. Turn my attention elsewhere. And then here's number six, and this is the number one thing. Get a group and a partner. Friends, I've been helping people through temptation for over 30 years, and nothing works like this. That's why I keep talking about you need to have an accountability partner, you need to have a spiritual partner, you need to have a spiritual friend, you need to be in a small group. So I told you when we started, the reality is willpower is not enough for permanent change. You've got to get a group, and you got to get a partner. Now, look up here on the screen. The Bible says this. I love this, the Message paraphrase. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. But every word I've spoken to you, Jesus, is a spirit word, so it is life-making. It's life-changing. Change has to come inside. And here's my question to you. Is your pastor somebody who loves you? How serious are you about breaking free? That thing that just, you keep going back to it and you keep going back to it, and that habit, that pattern of thought, that pattern of, I always get angry in that situation, I always get impatient in that situation, I always tend to build myself up in that situation, I always get whatever. How seriously are you interested in changing and breaking free? Because if you are, let me be very blunt with you, you will never do it without support. You will never do it on your own. I don't give you any hope of success in changing by yourself. Zero. Because God has wired us in a way that we need each other to grow. We need each other to break free of habits and hang-ups and hurts. And you need accountability in your life. The very thing that you want least is the very thing you need most. You need a friend who checks up on you, and you need a group that supports you. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because together, if one falls down, the other can help him up. But if somebody's alone and he falls into temptation, there's no one there to help him up. It just doesn't work. I can't tell you how many times I started a program of exercise and quit and started another one and quit and started another one and quit and started another one and quit. And I give an excuse here, an excuse there and all of that. And so this year when we started, I just said, I know this principle. You've got to have a group and you've got to have a friend. And so I asked a friend in this church named Tom, and I said, Tom, he's a member of this church. He said, will you be my partner? Will you help me? I said, I want to set 5 days a week to work out, so I'll hit four of them. Because nothing goes as planned in my life or yours. So I'm setting 5 days a week, so I hit four. And I've been consistent for 2 months. Now, is that because of me? No, it's because of Tom. Okay. You need a Tom in your life. Or a Terry or Tony or something. You need somebody in your life to help you on the three biggest habits in your life that you want to change. You're not going to change them on your own, so just quit kidding yourself. If you could, you would, but you can't, so you won't, and you're never going to change without a group giving you support and without a person giving you accountability. We were talking about this Thursday night in my small group, and we were talking about temptation. One of the people in our small group said, you know, the temptation I really struggle with most is the temptation to make myself look good all the time. Would you ever have enough authenticity to say that in your small group? Would you? Would you ever own up to the fact that 99% of the time you're all about trying to make yourself look good? Would you ever own up to that? You see, you're never going to be free until you own up. If there's just one thing I could do as your pastor, it would be to get you in a group and get you with a person that you could be totally honest with on the things that you think I don't want to tell anybody about. Because you're never going to break free until you share them. And if we were more consistent in confessing our temptations to each other, then we wouldn't have to spend so much time confessing our sins to each other. I'd rather have you confessing temptations than having to confess sins. Wouldn't you? Yeah. So what's the big deal? Well, I've never been tempted. Liar. Everybody's tempted. It is a myth that says you're going to get to a point in your spiritual life you're not tempted. No, in fact, let me tell you this. The more mature you become, the more Satan's going to put you on his most wanted list. You're going to get worse temptations as you grow. It doesn't just go away. It gets worse. Different kinds, but they're there. And if we were more consistent confessing our temptations, if men would confess their temptations to other men, they wouldn't have to confess their sins. If women would confess their temptations to other women, they wouldn't have to confess their sins. The Bible says this. Brothers and sisters, if someone in your group, we're talking about small groups right now, if somebody in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual, that means you who haven't done that week, because next week it'll be you, okay? You who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help them make it right again. But be careful, because you can be tempted by sin too. But by helping each other with your troubles, you obey the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love our neighbors as ourselves? The Bible says right there, by helping each other through temptation. That's how you love your neighbor, by helping them through temptation, by helping them be consistent in the things they want to be consistent in, to help them break bad habits and help them start good habits. That's the best way you can love your neighbor and obey the law of Christ. God wired us to need each other. And when we do this, when you're authentic and you start admitting your temptation to other people, it's liberating. The moment you admit your temptation, you start moving to freedom. That second. Because if I can't talk about it, it's already out of control in my life. If you can't talk about it, it's out of control. Whatever you can't talk about is out of control in your life. Otherwise, you're just in denial. It's out of control. And when you talk about a problem, it helps you gain control. And holding on to a hang-up only intensifies it. It makes it worse. And you wearing a mask makes you miserable. And pretending makes it worse. It's liberating. It's empowering. The moment you share with somebody in your small group, and you don't have to share even with everybody in your group, just get one person. Say, will you be my partner? Here's some stuff I want to change. Things I want to work on for good. Positive habits, get in shape or whatever. Or here's some negative things I want to stop doing. Watching pornography or whatever. Okay? And remember I said everybody's got different temptations. So nobody has a right to judge anybody else. We're all shaped for different things. But the moment you enlist somebody, the pressure starts dissipating. The temptation starts weakening. And you know what else it does? When you are authentic, it is endearing. We love, we gravitate toward people who are authentic. We gravitate toward people who are real. We don't want to hang around phonies who pretend like everything's going right in their life. That's why we have testimonies in this church. We've had 30 years of a parade of people saying, my life was so messed up, and here's what's happening. And it's not even completely fixed yet, but here's what I'm working on, and here's how God's helping me. Why do we do that? To model that this is a safe place. There is no sin that shocks me anymore. I've heard every one of them. There is no sin in our church that could shock me. It's all here in our church. Why? Because we're human beings. Following Christ does not exempt you from temptation. Now, what I'm telling you is, on this earth, you're never going to be sinless. But it is possible to sin less. Okay? You're never going to be sinless. But it is possible to sin less. And look at this verse, James 5. My dear friends, if you know people who've wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. And you will have rescued precious lives. Let me ask you, do you know somebody in your life who's struggling right now, who needs your help, and you need to go after them? You don't need to say, well, it's none of my business. It is your business if you love them. It's your business to go after them and to bring them back and help them out and be their partner and love them unconditionally and listen to their confession and encourage them and help them grow. Let's bow our heads. Why don't you pray this prayer? If you're ready for a change. Dear God, you know all the habits and temptations in my life that have tripped me up for years. And you know the tempting situations I'm facing right now. And you even know the temptations that lay ahead of me this week that I don't even know about yet. So I'm asking for your help. I'm praying the prayer of deliverance. And I'm willing to follow the path of your principles of escape so I can change and be free. Help me to clearly see the patterns in my life that lead to temptation. Give me the strength to start avoiding them, to plan to avoid them. Help me to refocus my attention on other things when I'm tempted. Today I want to commit to getting in a small group or starting a small group where I can be encouraged and help others too and find a partner. Most important, Lord, I need you to do some heart surgery on me. Remove the negative emotions that make me vulnerable and replace them with your love and your forgiveness and your trust. And I ask you, Jesus Christ, to start changing me from the inside out, beginning today. In your name I pray. Amen.
You know, sometimes the most important role you can play in the life of a child is teaching them to trust God through prayer. Yeah, we believe it's the key to living with hope. Jesus said this, "We should always pray and never give up." That's why it's so important to strengthen the hope of children by introducing them to Jesus' model for prayer at a very early age. So now, we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource to help you do just that. It's called The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness. This book brings the poetic scripture from the King James Version alive for readers young and old, and you'll find thoughtful insights from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor Rick Warren, and stunning illustrations by award-winning artist, Richard Jesse Watson. This will become a meaningful bedtime ritual, a treasured memory, and a lasting legacy that bears good fruit for generations to come. Be sure to request your copy of the book, The Lord's Prayer, Words of Hope and Happiness, today when you give a gift to help take the life-transforming Word of God to the world through Daily Hope. This is our way of saying thanks so much for your support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope really helps us share the hope of Christ with people all over the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.